Welcome to Light in the Land, where we illuminate the Bible within the context of the land of Israel. Each week, we uniquely dive into biblical passages using archaeology, history, geography, customs and culture of the biblical period, and the Hebraic background of Jesus, guiding you along ancient paths and into biblical towns and landscapes is Dr. John DeLancey. He serves as the founder and director of Biblical Israel Ministries and Tours, and has led over 90 Israel study trips to date, as well as participated in many archaeological digs. We pray this program connects you to the land, deepens your understanding of the Bible, and inspires your walk of faith in Christ.
Shalom, hello, and welcome to Light in the Land, where we discover the Bible through the lens of Israel's physical settings. I'm John, and I am so pleased and thankful that you are joining us for this podcast. Actually, I think this is podcast number 41, if I am not mistaken, but it's really podcast number one, as in video podcast. Now, certainly there's an audio-only part of a podcast. That's typically the case for podcasts, and if you're listening in without watching me in front of my screen in my office here, with a beautiful backdrop of the Sea of Galilee, incidentally, we want to thank you for hopping on and listening into this, what will probably be a shorter podcast. But if indeed you are watching this podcast, I guess the term is video podcast, on our YouTube channel, we want to certainly invite you to not only like the video, but also make a comment or share a question, and that would certainly help our channel as well. But this is really number one of a video podcast, so whether you're simply doing audio only or video and audio, both ways, we are thankful for your involvement in listening in and interacting with us. The plan is down the line for me to have guests along the way where we'll simply talk about some kind of Israel-related theme or location or story. I plan to have pastors, some archaeologists, perhaps anyone else who I think would be beneficial for a conversation, if you will, and for the benefit of our audience as we engage in Israel, the land itself, and sort of make sense of how important it is really to understand the land as we open our Bibles and look at the text, both from the Old and the New Testament. So I plan to simply do one take video podcast, by the way. So if you see me scrambling or looking at my computer or trying to figure something out, unless it's really dramatic, it's what you see. What you see is what you get, I guess, and what you hear is what you get. So a little different format than our previous 40 podcast audio only. So we'll adapt as we go. I'm sure I'll learn how to do this more effectively as I begin this new featured ministry of BIMT. So with that, let me begin by sharing my screen. And we want to talk about the land. In fact, this is, again, podcast number 41, as you see on the screen, if indeed you're watching this as a video podcast. But we want to take a look at this map that you see and what I have shared, I guess, in person before, the map of Israel. Israel is a land of 300 miles long and about 75 or 80 miles wide at its widest point. In fact, if you are watching, you can see me point to the Red Sea down here in the south, the Dead Sea further north, but on the east border, the Mediterranean on the west, and then up to the top is the Sea of Galilee. But what we want to do is talk about the land. And as I always like to do in my podcast, is that we engage in the text of Scripture. So as I'm doing this individually here in this video podcast, perhaps you're well aware of the Bible as it relates to the land. We look for details as it relates to the geography of the land, but generally speaking, I always turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 7 through 9, which helps us understand the uniqueness of this land. This is what that text tells us, Deuteronomy 8. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs, gushing out into the valleys and the hills, a land of wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce, and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron, and you can dig copper out of the hills. Now, that's a tremendous verse, I think, or a few verses here put together that remind us that when the Israelites were coming out of Egypt, comparatively speaking, of course, Egypt, the only water source there was the Nile River that flowed from the north, from the south to the north. It's only one of several rivers in the world that actually does this. But as the water flows from what we call Upper Egypt in the south to Lower Egypt in the north, Israel, comparatively speaking, was a land with rain in the winter. The hill country, as we'll talk about in a moment, gets a lot of rain. The coastal plains do as well. Maybe not so much the deserts, but it's a land, comparatively speaking, that really flourished. There are springs all over the place. There is good land, fertile land, though, again, there are deserts and more arid regions of the land that you really have to bring back to life, if you will. But I like to think that God blessed the Israelites with a good land, and as Deuteronomy tells us, a land where you did not lack anything, primarily because of the water source. So when perhaps you or others think of the land of Israel, I'm thinking, and this is sort of how it goes with those who travel with me, most people who've never been to Israel, they have in their minds the image of a desert. That's all they think Israel really is, one desert after another, hot and sandy and rocky. Well, as we'll discover, there are a few regions like that. But certainly, when we talk about this particular text of Scripture, where there are brooks and streams and deep springs that literally gush out of the rock, I'm thinking of the Zin Desert in the south, in the Negev. I'm thinking of En Gedi in the Judean Desert. These hot and dry, arid places, they still have a source of water, and this is the phenomenon of springs that sort of pop up out of nowhere. Even on the hottest day when it's 100 degrees, you can find water in these places where you would not, of course, expect it. But what we want to do in this short episode, and maybe we'll touch base on this episode in the ones that we produce forthcoming, but here's a map of the land of Israel, and what I have done, this is actually from our seminar material. I do teach in churches all around the country a seminar called Bringing the Bible to Life, bringing the Bible to life. And we have a whole session, on the 15 biblical regions. And there, again, if you're watching this on YouTube, although I will place this short PDF format on our webpage, just to remind you that if you do miss a podcast, I'll at least reference them or link them on our podcast page of our website, biblicalisraeltours.com. You'll find it there. But this is an image where I have defined these regions of the land. Now, as I mentioned, the land is 300 miles long and maybe 75 or 80 miles, depending on where you measure that through the Negev, if you will. In fact, let me just point it out. If you are, again, watching from the Mediterranean coast, just near, there's Gaza right there, all the way over to the Dead Sea. And even south here, across Beersheba in Arad, it's about 75 or 80 miles, and that's it. That's the width of the country. It's a country about the size of New Jersey. But these regions from south to north include, and now I'll start with one that's not really mentioned here, but it's further south than the slide that I have displayed, the Southern Highlands. But this map starts with the biblical Negev, N-E, and then the Judean Desert, hill country of Judah, more about this later, the Shvelah or the lowlands, the coastal plain, the Sharon plain, the hill country of Samaria or Ephraim, the Jordan River Valley, going back to the west, the Carmel Range, the Jezreel Valley, the Lower Galilee, the Sea of Galilee Basin, the Upper Galilee, the Hola Valley, and the Golan Heights. You can see them defined there, and on the map, of course, I abbreviated some of these regions by just virtue of a couple letters, but this is the land of Israel. It's not one big desert, although Israel does have some deserts, but when we talk about the southern part of the country, there you see again the Red Sea at the very southern end of the country. Incidentally, this line there that I'm pointing to from Eilat, Israel's most southern city on the Red Sea, this is the border with Egypt. It goes all the way up to the Gaza Strip, which is to the north and a little east of this line, but everything else here to the west of this line is Egypt. Ever since June of 1982, dealing with the peace agreement with the Egyptians, even though the Israelis did take the Sinai in the 73 war, the Yom Kippur war, the deal was in June of 82 to give it back to the Egyptians. So everything that you see to the left of this line is Egypt today. And of course, Egypt extends down further south and west to where the Nile River, the Delta is, Alexandria, Cairo, and so forth. But we're going to talk about this land so that even though you may not be watching this as I speak, just try to envision pretty much the bottom third of the land is very arid. In fact, we call this the Southern Highlands or the Southern Negev, technically. There are a couple unique geological formations. I'm pointing to them now. They're called the Maktesh. Ramon is one of them. There are a few Makteshim, and Maktesh means crater, if you will. It's sort of Israel's Grand Canyon. The Arava is what separates between Israel here to the west and Jordan. And yes, I failed to mention parenthetically that here down at the Red Sea, as I speak about Jordan primarily being the country to the east, and it is, except up north in the Golan Heights, we have a border with Syria. Just know that Just off this map is where the western finger of Saudi Arabia begins. So here at the Red Sea, at Eilat in Israel's side and Aqaba in the Jordan side, we have the convergence of four countries: Israel, Egypt, Jordan, and Saudi Arabia. But the further north you go, and here is Beersheba, pointing to it now. It's in the sort of the northwest side of the Negev. The Negev gets about 4 to 8 inches of rain. The city of Arad is here in the northeast part. So all of this, you can see in the brown area, the regions are very arid regions. Along the coastline is the Gaza Strip, and perhaps you are familiar with what has gone on there over the last couple years. But there you can see the Dead Sea at the top of this map, at least this screen, I should say, which means everything to the west of the Dead Sea is the Judean Desert. This coastline borders the Judean Desert. The Dead Sea, incidentally, is about 30 miles long, this northern section, and then there's a very shallow section here on the south end. The north section is about 920 feet deep, something like that. And the south end is where they extract the minerals and the salts and really ship them around all over the world. So the Judean Desert, here's the hill country of Judah, which is that ridge right through the heart of the country. Jerusalem's very at the very top of this map. They're in gray, but everything green, Bethlehem, Hebron, all of that is hill country of Judah. Incidentally, elevation-wise, the hill country is about 3,000 feet above the sea level of the Mediterranean. Can you imagine that? It's that close. But even closer is this other body of water, the Dead Sea, which is only about 20 miles from the heart of the Judean hill country. And the Dead Sea is the world's lowest place on earth. It's almost 1,400 feet below sea level. It's really incredible. But to the west of the hill country is the Shvela. It's a Hebrew term. It appears a couple times in the Bible, in the Old Testament, of course. It means lowlands. We call this the Shvela of Judah. It's really serving as sort of the buffer between the hill country of Judah and what appears on the coastline. We simply call that the coastal plain. So this Shvela consists of five primary valleys that go from the west to the east, starting up here in the north, called the Ayalon Valley, the Sorek Valley, the Ela Valley, the Beit Gavrim Valley, and the Lachish Valley. But as we change the slide and take a look at the northern part, really, there's Jerusalem at the very north edge of the hill country of Judah, but you can see the green, this rib, if you will, that goes through the heart of the country, continues northward. So everything to the north of Jerusalem, with the exception of the area just north, we call this the Central Benjamin Plateau, but this is the heart of the hill country of Samaria or Ephraim. To the east of this hill country is, again, the Samaritan desert, but primarily between the Sea of Galilee and the Jordan River flows 65 miles, although it probably flows a little longer than that. This is the distance between the southern end of the Sea of Galilee and the northern end of the Dead Sea. This is called the Jordan Valley, which means everything to the east is Jordan. All of this, the hills of Gilead, for instance. And remember, there were two and a half tribes, I should say, on the east side of this valley. Gad, Reuben, and half of Manasseh. So the 12 tribes were in not only Israel proper today, but two and a half of them were in what is today the Hashemite kingdom of Jordan. But when we go to the west coast, we have the Sharon Plain. It's really the extension of the coastal plain, but we call it the Sharon Plain. And then the Carmel Range, The Egyptians used to call this the nose of the antelope. As you can see, this Carmel Range goes from the northwest to the southeast. There are a couple passes through this Carmel Range, three primary ones, the Yokneam Pass, the Aruna or the Megiddo Pass, and the Dodan Pass. But it leads into Israel's largest valley, and we call this its own region, the Jezreel Valley. In fact, one of the eastern fingers of the Jezreel, I'm pointing to it now, technically it's the Harod Valley because of the spring there located at the base of the Gilboa Mountain range. But the Harod Valley is really an eastern extension of the Jezreel Valley as it flows all the way out to the Jordan Valley. And of course, we would find and should not be surprised to see a site like Beit Shan, a huge, massive site, Canaanite site in the Old Testament. Even the Egyptians controlled this for a couple hundred years. A big Roman site as well in the days of the New Testament. But that is significant. The Jezreel Valley is what separates the Carmel Range to the south and west, and now the lower Galilee here on the north and east side of the Jezreel Valley, which means that ridge, technically, it's called the Nazareth Ridge, it begins what is defined as the lower Galilee. The lower Galilee, Josephus tells us that there were over 200 cities in the days of Jesus, the first century, in the lower and the upper Galilee. So if this is the lower Galilee, of course, north of it is the upper Galilee, and we return to an elevation that's quite prominent here with Mount Merom, it's called, to the north and west of the Sea of Galilee. And speaking about the Sea of Galilee, this is another region in its own way, in its own right, if you will, the Sea of Galilee Basin. That's what I call it. It's like the Dead Sea, which is close to 1,400 feet below sea level. The Sea of Galilee is about 700 feet below sea level. Not quite, 690, depending on maybe the rainfall or the water elevation of this freshwater lake. And then the final two regions are the Hula Valley, extends due north of the Sea of Galilee. Cities like Hatzor are located here. And at the northern end, with the border of Lebanon, incidentally, here's Lebanon. We have cities in ancient Israel called Dan and Ayon and Abel Beit Ma'akah. Of course, Hatzor here is the largest of the Old Testament sites. It's about 200 acres in the days of the Canaanites. But the last region extends 38 miles from the southern tip of the Sea of Galilee on the east side all the way up to Mount Hermon, which is quite off the map here, just quite. Mount Hermon is Israel's largest mountain. In fact, we used to say Syria owned the highest peak at 9,200 feet and Israel the second highest peak at 7,300 feet. But since the last 2 years, for security reasons, Israel actually has control of the highest peak. And they sort of took it over from Syria. Syria has its own political and military problems, as you know. But so we can say, at least for now, Israel has control of the entire Hermon Mountain. Hermon, it's mentioned in Psalm 137. So this is the land of Israel. And it's quite significant. Even though it's small, it was the most important parcel of land in biblical times. So I wanted to simply use this first video podcast to do more of showing you things, not just speaking about them. Although, again, on our page dedicated for our podcast, you'll see corresponding PDFs to all of my podcasts prior to this, where you can take a look at three or four slides, just like we did today, and take a look at what I have talked about in those podcasts. The land, various sites, I have taken you to really context, if you will. I've taken you to places and regions that match the biblical narrative. But in this podcast, I just wanted to sort of step back and help look at the land with more of a wider perspective, if you will, and orient you to what we call the land between. This land between the south and the west, where the Egyptians were, and the north and the east, where all kinds of people groups were throughout biblical history, beginning with the Hittites and the Sumerians, and eventually the Assyrians, and then the Babylonians, and then the Persians, if we take them in chronological order. All of those people groups wanted to come down through the land of Israel, and just the same way, one pharaoh after the other, if we're talking about Thutmose III or Ramses II, or other pharaohs, Shoshank or Necho mentioned in the Bible, incidentally, in Second Chronicles at the end of that book. But the Egyptians and their pharaohs were all the time interested in securing for their kingdom the land of Israel and anything to the north. So what's sort of sandwiched between the south and the west, where the Egyptians were for hundreds, if not thousands of years, and all of these people groups to the north and east? Well, it's the parcel of land called Israel today that was between, if you will, sandwiched between all of this history. History that maybe is a little extra biblical, if you will. History that's happening, even though it may not be mentioned in the biblical text, but also there is a lot of biblical history as well that has all of these people groups, enemies, even trade routes coming down through the land of Israel. So as I always tell my people on my trips and then when I teach in a seminar format in churches around the country, I always say that Israel, the land that we just saw, made of 15 different regions, was the most important parcel of land in the ancient Near East, hands down. Even though it's small, but yet it was important for strategic reasons. So this brings us to a close of this podcast. I know a little shorter than the normal 25 or 28 minute podcasts, and I hope that you tune in again for more podcasts that will be including a video component as well, just like this one. And again, I'm hoping to have guests with me so that we can have a more of a conversation about, again, themes in the Bible or particular stories in the Bible. Or locations, or maybe a question that arises about archaeology and how everything matches up. So this is the orientation of this podcast. Again, we want to discover the Bible, as I use in my introduction, as we unfold the physical settings of the land through the lens of things like archaeology, history, geography, customs, culture. And when it does apply to the first century and the life of Yeshua Jesus, we'll certainly talk about the Hebraic background of Jesus as well. So this brings us to an end. Again, thanks for joining us, and hope you enjoyed this episode of Light in the Land. Until next time, Shalom.
Thank you for joining us for this program. We hope it was enlightening and inspiring. If you have questions, you can email Dr. John DeLancey at drjohn@biblicalisraeltours.com. We invite you to visit our website, biblicalisraeltours.com, where we have resources about Israel and the Bible, select images from today's program, along with links to our YouTube channel featuring on-location teaching videos from the land of Israel. Additionally, our site also has information about upcoming trips throughout Israel and other biblical lands. A tour of the Holy Land will transform the way you read and understand the Bible, as it has for thousands of others. Until next time, thanks for listening, and Shalom.